Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, everyone. And welcome once again. It's that time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on a chilly evening on the East Coast. We got feet of snow in Buffalo. Don't know what's going to happen there. Hopefully it doesn't come down this far south in Jersey where I'm at. But regardless, right now, I am JT. And as always, at this time, it's the FSP crew time. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. We've got a great show in store for you today, or tonight, I should say. We got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things in the NFL, and look, I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know which way to go here. There's so many things to talk about. Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, RG3. If they're going to play a football game and where it's going to be played, it's the power that's going on. Who's really the number one in college football? I'm going to talk about this. How a one loss team can be number one versus a team that's undefeated and the reigning college football champion of last year. We're going to talk about all that because I got to get some answers. I got to get it out. And since you're listening to me, then you know it's time for me to vent a little bit. So I'm going to do that. And I may be riding solo. I'm not sure. I don't see any of my two co-hosts. But it is what it is. So buckle down, hunker up, put a blanket on or a sweater, get a cup of coffee or a cup of chocolate, and sit back, look at the game. And if you're listening to me, that's fine too. So we've got a lot of things going on and a lot of things to talk about, and we're going to try to get them one at a time. Let's go in this direction first. Now, three years ago, the number two pick in the 2012 NFL draft, 2012 NFL draft was the sensation from Baylor, talking about Robert Griffin III. Much celebrated, very heralded, and was the toast of the town in Washington, D.C., and the savior for that franchise coming out of Baylor in 2012. Played well, won the Rookie of the Year, if I'm not mistaken, and everything was trending on an upward scale for the Washington Redskins, and also for RG3, quite naturally. Then we go into 2013. In 2013, RG3 gets hurt. Goes through the process of trying to rehab and gets to a point where either upper management above the coaching staff, including Mike Shanahan at the time, or RG3 pushing the fact that I need to get back on the field, put him out there when it, quite naturally, when you saw him play, he wasn't ready. So what happens? Shanahan rumblings that these two couldn't get along, meaning Shanahan and RG3, and eventually RG3, and Shanahan said that he was going to do this to protect him because he wasn't physically healthy enough to play, benched RG3 near the end of last season, 2013 season. So what happens? Shanahan gets fired in the offseason. In comes Jay Gruden from being an offensive coordinator in the Cincinnati Bengals. Much heralded, supposedly quarterback guru, can get a quarterback to do a lot of things. Had Andy Dalton before he left there, have his best season ever since he's been in the NFL. And what happens? He comes to Washington, and in the preseason, it was quite obvious that RG3 was struggling to pick up this offense, and that Kirk Cousins looked like he was better fit for the offense than RG3. But because of RG3 being the, in quotes, so-called franchise quarterback, he was first up to get the start beginning of the season, and he struggled, and he struggled. And then he got hurt again. This time it's an ankle injury. In comes Kirk Cousins. Plays well for a game or two, and then everything went downhill from there. Okay? Out goes Kirk Cousins. In comes Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy plays well. Uh-oh, we may have a quarterback controversy. Now RG3 is pushing to get back on the field to be the man. Comes back after so-called being healthy, and quite frankly, he plays like hot garbage. Hot garbage. And what happens? The last game he played, and he played one of the worst defenses, one of the worst teams, in fact, the worst team in the NFL against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the team gets thoroughly toasted. And he throws pick after pick after pick, and he looks absolutely horrible. Horrible. Calling for his head. Press conference comes up. And when I finish this, I'm going to bring in my esteemed co-host, Jeff. He's sitting on the sidelines. But I got to finish this rant I have here because this is even getting even better. And this is unprecedented territory we're going to hear. After the game, he goes into the press conference, and this is his words. I'm going to read them verbatim of what he said. He said, great quarterbacks, the Peytons, the Aaron Rodgers, those guys don't play well. If the guys don't play well, they don't. We need everybody. I need every one of those guys in that locker room. And I know they're looking at me saying the same thing. I'll never quit on them, and I need them to do the same. Now, he also said that he basically threw these guys under the bus, threw his teammates under the bus publicly in front of the press, okay? And Jay Gruden, after he heard what RG3 said, came back and said, I don't have it verbatim, but he came back and said he needs to worry about himself and let me worry about the team. He also emphasized it's more important for RG3 to improve his fundamentals. And this is a head coach coming out in the media and saying this. He's taking three-step drops when he should be taking a one-step drop. He's taking five-step drops when he should be taking a five or a seven or a three-step drop. His footwork's all wrong. He's thrown to the wrong reach. I'm telling you, this is what the coach said in public. Now, usually a coach would say that to a player behind closed doors, like looking at film or whatever else. But Jay Gruden, he's a no-nonsense coach, obviously. and was a little pissed off at what RG3 throwing his team and basically his coaches under the bus, because he also said the coaches need to coach better, which is absolutely crazy. I had said this before, and be patient, Jeff, I'm going to bring you in here. I had said this before last year, and I had said it to Vic Gardner, who's a diehard Redskin fan, that this kid was getting above himself and thought he was all that before he's all that. And obviously, he still thinks he's all that, and he's out of control. And Jay Gruden had to put him in his place, and he did it publicly. I'm going to bring my esteemed co-host Jeff in here. We're going to talk about it for a little bit. He's a fellow Jersey guy. He's very opinionated. I know he's got an opinion on this. Jeff the Joker, welcome to the show. How you been?
Hey, Terry. How you doing?
All right. Talk to me. RG3, Jay Gruden, oh boy. We got drama in D.C.
Okay. RG3, senior year in college, amazing. You know, the Redskins, they trade up and, you know, give him a ton of money and whatever. And, I'm not stroking anybody. D.C. is one of the top NFL cities. I mean, it's a really good NFL town. And so, of course, they're hungry for a winner. And, you know, everybody's excited. And RG3 looked promising his first year. Then, of course, then unfortunately he got hurt his second year, which he seems to be injury prone. And, I really like mobile quarterbacks. I always have. But, you got to be smart about it. When you're playing with the big boys, and you got to be, even if you're mobile, you still got to get it done from the pocket. And, as an example, Russell Wilson, he makes a lot of plays with his feet, but he's very smart. He doesn't take a lot of unnecessary hits, the mobility is a big part of RG3's game. And, remember when that obnoxious guy at ESPN called RG3 a cornball brother, which I thought that was out of line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that commentator had a history of making inappropriate remarks. But, the thing is, up till now, it seemed that Griffin had a good head on his shoulder. I mean, compared to some of the nonsense, there's been a lot of nonsense this week. Like LeGarrette Blount leaving the sideline and showering and leaving early and whatever. That bothers me more. Believe it or not, that bothers me more. You know, it's like he knows his role. He should know his role. He's the backup running back. He usually gets some carries. That night, Bell was playing great. He was hot. He didn't get carries. Whoop-de-doo. You're getting paid a lot of money. Shut your mouth, you know. If you have an issue, you could, quietly have a word with a coach, and say, I thought I was going to get some carries or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I thought what he did was ridiculous, and I can't believe the Patriots signed his immature rear end. But I'm not going to call RG3 a cornball brother. And, he was so sarcastic at that press conference when he kept saying, oh, we're going to San Francisco. We kept saying, like Belichick kept saying with Cincinnati. And you could tell he was being sarcastic, believe me, in the big picture, it's nothing. He looks like a jerk. Big deal, he's a jerk. He's not a criminal. You know what I mean? He's an overrated player. It doesn't make him a horrible person. But you know what? You know what I'd call him? I'm not going to call him a cornball brother. Right now, he looks like just a guy. You know what I'm saying? You're not paying all that money and whatever and trying to build a franchise around just a guy. But that's what he looks like, just a guy.
Yeah, well, I'm not calling him cornball. I'm just saying that he's his mindset is four or five levels above his skill set. I spoke about this last year. that I can see that the kid thought he was all that, thought he was in the level of Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, and he's not all that. I mean, he's had a lot of praise heaped on him, and I think he's got the ear of the or he's the favorite son of maybe the owner, and he thinks he can, in my opinion, and from what I'm saying, he thinks he can say and do anything he likes, and he's the Teflon. He's got Teflon around him because of how upper management feels about him. But Jay Gruden, just like his brother, John, ain't going for that. You're a football player. You're not playing well. I'm not going to coddle you, just like Shanahan was pretty much, I think, forced to do. Him and Kyle, his son, were forced to do for a short time that they were there. And if it's Shanahan who's won Super Bowls, okay, and you got issues with Shanahan, and then you get a new coach in there, which in essence, the new coach came to make sure that Robert Griffin III could operate that would make him most effective. And the new coach in game 11, or maybe even way before that, is having issues with you. Two coaches, two NFL coaches that have been around the NFL for quite a while, Shanahan quite naturally more than Jay Gruden, and you still got issues and still got problems. It's not the coaches, it's the player. And, you know, to this day, I see on a few TVs of programs that I've seen, sports, NFL network, the defense still defend this kid. Like, and I don't think he should be defended because of the fact I think he's overstepped his bounds. I know he's been in the league 3 years, but when he was, he seems like I'm the man, but you're not playing like the man. And if you're not playing like the man and you need to maybe stick yourself in the film room a little longer, maybe instead of staying there, and I'm not saying he's staying there a short time and then coming out and saying I'm the man, because obviously, Jeff, in my opinion, I don't know about you, when I saw this game last week, it didn't look like he spent too much time doing anything, because the time, and he had quite a bit of time because he was off for a few games to study, study the offense, do a lot of film study, and prep himself for whenever he got healthy to get back on the field, that he would be more effective than he was before he left because of his injury. And it looks like he's gotten even worse than better, and better wasn't even that much better. So I don't know. I mean, it's one hot mess. Washington is playing. I forget who they're playing this week, but I don't think it's going to be
10 times San Francisco.
That's right. That's right. They're playing San Francisco in San Francisco, and he may leave his heart there. You know, he may leave his heart in San Francisco. For the simple fact is, they know that he's sitting on the edge right now, meaning the defense and the coaching staff and that team. Guys know, and guys talk throughout the league, that this kid got a fragile psyche. And that's what I'm saying. He has a fragile psyche. And I think he's going to get exposed big time in San Francisco's nice, new, shiny stadium in front of thousands of people to see how bad he played on the East Coast. Now he's going to bring it to the West Coast, and they're going to see how bad he plays on the West Coast. I don't know, man. I mean, this guy is that dread, could be that dreaded four-letter word that nobody wants to hear about when a high pick comes out and doesn't play well. And you know what the four-letter word is. It's bust, B-U-S-T. And this kid looked like he's primed to be another quarterback bust, a high draft pick coming out and bust. And the And the Redskins are trying like hell not to have that happen because they had put so much into this with all the draft picks they gave up to move up to get this kid. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, what do you think about this kid? You think he's got the he's bust material or he's still got something in there and somebody's got to pull it out, maybe Jay Gruden?
Well, he looks like a bust. I don't know what's going to happen the rest of this year or next year. I don't know how long the Redskins are going to stay patient with him. But the thing is, same draft, Andrew Luck, and that guy, I can't say enough good things about him. You know, I mean, very good athlete, intelligent player. And on top of it, he seems like a super nice guy. I mean, they put a microphone on, you know, a guy during a game, and, you know, they know the microphone is on. But then, you know, you get caught up in the moment, you forget. This guy's even polite in the huddle. And you don't have a lot of time to mince words in the huddle, you know. And I just hope he keeps doing like he's doing, just a very talented player and a good character guy. And like I said, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, he's had some ups and downs, you know, playing, but you know, he keeps it together. You know, he's got a good head on his shoulders. And man, I'd take Wilson over RG any day of the week, you know.
It's twice on Sunday.
Yeah. You know, trying to think who else. I'll tell you, you know, Kaepernick, you know, when I talk about young quarterbacks, I like them, but I don't love them for some of the same issues as RG3, you know, just not being good in the pocket. But, you know, hey, you know, thing is, Kaepernick can stay healthy, you know, despite all the running. Excuse me. And the team's been winning. You know, another young quarterback's been struggling this year, and this guy with a lot of talent, Cam Newton, but he's been taking a beating, and his coach might deny it. And I think this is a situation where that ankle that he had operated on might not be 100%. And say what you want about Newton, he's a big kid and he seems tough. And I think it's one of these situations where he's healthy enough to play, but maybe he's not healthy enough to play well. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's not good. Also, you know, he doesn't have the greatest receivers and he doesn't have a good line. You know, the running backs are always hurt and whatever. You know, and you know, he's rubbed a few people the wrong way, but not like RG3 this week, you know. And I think Newton got a little smarter, you know, just about how to carry himself and whatever. And some of the stuff people got ticked off about with nothing, like, you know, with the towel on his head on the sideline. Yeah, you know, he's just trying to cool off. It's not something you usually see, but it's not like he was flipping anybody off or anything. You know what I'm saying? But that's the thing. When you're in that position, all eyes are on you. They really are. And but, yeah, it has been a weird week for the NFL and talking about players.
I'm about to drop into one of these weird things that have happened. I wouldn't say weird, but what we thought was going to happen isn't happening. And in reality and in fantasy, it affects a lot of people. And I'm talking about Adrian Peterson. I think it's been almost – it's got to been at least a week that he pled guilty to a misdemeanor. And the NFL and the Peterson camp had an agreement, so they speak, had an agreement that once the legal process was taken care of, that he would be able to get back to playing football. Well, not so fast. As soon as the he got a plea deal, his representation immediately asked to be reinstated. And no, the NFL wanted the hearing, and he decided not to go to that hearing. And because he decided not to, one of the reasons he decided not to go to that hearing, They had a arbitration hearing earlier part of this week. Ruling came down that he still would be kept on the exempt list, and quite naturally, his camp was upset. And then another ruling came down after that he would be suspended for the remainder of the season and would be considered for reinstatement the soonest is April 15th, 2015. Now, quite naturally, the Players Association quickly announced it would appeal the decision and demanded a neutral arbitrator, not Goodell, because like we know before, he was the judge, jury, and appeal judge, which, I mean, if you made the ruling and now you're going to hear the appeal, what makes you think the ruling is going to change? So that makes no sense. Anyway, one of the things the commissioner had come out and said that Adrian Peterson didn't look like he showed any kind of remorse, didn't actually go for any counseling and treatment, and he said in a letter notifying him that laying out the basics of a counseling and treatment program, including a mandatory meeting by December 1st with the league appointed psychiatrist, it didn't happen. He wants that to happen. This is an excerpt from the letter that Commissioner Goodell sent to Adrian Peterson and his representation. He says, "We are prepared to put in place a program that can help you succeed, but no program can succeed without your genuine and continuing engagement. You must commit yourself to your counseling and rehabilitative effort, properly care for your children, and have no further violations of law or league policy. Fail to do so, and Peterson could face additional discipline, including banishment from the NFL. Now, this is a first-time guy. First time, and I'm not downplaying what happened, but this is not like he's gotten in trouble before. This is the first time. But it came down on him, and this could be a test case for the personal conduct policy Goodell has pledged to revise and strengthen in the wake of the league's mishandling of the Ray Rice domestic assault case. The letter said Peterson will remain on the exempt list with pay while his appeal pending. The arbitrator said no, he's still going to be on the commissioner's exempt list. I said that before. The NFLPA argued that the letter agreement, which stated Peterson will remain on with full play until the criminal charges pending against him are adjudicated, meant Peterson should have been reinstated following his no contest plea. So there's a lot of moving parts in here. I think the players are saying that, well, you said that you would take him, he would be able to play after the legal process was taken care of. The legal process is taken care of. Now you're adding on to you're reneging on your original agreement, and you're adding on punishment that you pretty much said that you wouldn't do. And I think the NFL, in my opinion, is doing this by the seat of their pants, trying to cover themselves in the media and in public opinion, and hoping that Peterson would capitulate at one point and say, okay, I'll take it and I'll wait until next year. But he's going down fighting with this. What's your thoughts and what took place from the time he got his plea deal up until this point, Jeff?
You know, I've disliked Goodell for a long time, and I really wish I was an NFL owner, besides the fact that that would mean I would be very wealthy. But, you know, I think they should reevaluate his job, you know, quietly in the off season, not right now, because some of this nonsense. I mean, like, and I agree. I mean, what Adrian Peterson did was very, very wrong. But
right,
you know, he's got a clean record, and you know, the thing is, the whether you like it or not, the justice system in Texas, they dealt with it. It's not the employer's duty to deal with it. And, you know, I'll tell you, Peterson is an effing fool because his stupid mouth got him in trouble because he showed no remorse.
Right.
And that's, you know, they always tell you, be quiet, keep your mouth shut, keep your mouth shut. And he couldn't figure that one out. And, you know, I hate to say it. I remember years ago, I think it might have been, went to the Pro Bowl after his rookie year, goes to the Pro Bowl. It's nuts. And some of the veterans on the team convinced him that he needed to gain weight, you know, and he'd be better if he gained weight. And that fool started gaining weight because guys who played for other teams convinced him that he needed to. He started gaining weight, and I think finally somebody in the Vikings talked some sense to him. I mean, that's how dim this guy is, you know? But the thing is with Goodell, and you know, I hate to say it, well, at least Peterson was smart enough to hire a top-notch attorney, Rusty Hardin, and the attorney is absolutely right, you know, about, you know, I mean, the thing is, the fact is he's been suspended for, you know, 8 weeks or so, and Goodell's making up the conduct as he's going along, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
No consistency, no transparency. I totally agree. But you know what? They have, you know, what, a two-year-old collective bargaining agreement. And a lot of players have been complaining about Goodell's dictatorial powers. And you know what? They wanted less two-a-days. They wanted less mini-camps, yada, yada, all that stuff. But they let Goodell keep the power, which didn't make any sense to me. And,
right.
You know, maybe if they didn't, they wouldn't be in a situation. And then I think a lot of this is for show because Goodell looks so bad after Ray Rice. And, you know, the thing is, Goodell made a mistake. Nobody's perfect, you know, but he's getting paid, I think, $40 million a year. You know, they're paying him to make big decisions and get them right. Now, with the Ray Rice thing, which shouldn't have any effect on Peterson, but it does, I think. You know, in life, it could be hard sometimes to think on your feet. You do the best you can, but it's not always clear what you should do in certain situations. He had plenty of time to sleep on it, to think about it, to consult with people, to research whatever, and got it all wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that blew me away. I mean, because, you know, with the second Roethlisberger off-the-field incident, he was not charged with that crime.
Right.
And despite that, for something he was not charged with, Goodell suspended him 6 games and knocked it down to 4. And then Rice, who was charged with a crime, got a 2-game suspension and what, you know, I mean, it seemed completely inconsistent and whatever. And I just scratching my head. And, you know, Goodell has made himself a very unlikable character because, you know, he really took it upon himself to be, you know, the disciplinarian of the NFL. And he's really messed it up. Really, really messed it up. And I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
All right. What else I want to talk about here? What the hell else? How about the – well, let me put it this way. I don't think the New York Jets are going to be shuffling off to Buffalo anytime soon. They've gotten 6 feet of snow and expecting at least – 1 or 2 more feet before, I guess, before the night's out. And I don't know, man. It's already said that they're not going to be playing in Buffalo, and they're looking for the venues they're looking for. Excuse me, are in Detroit, Pittsburgh, and as far down as D.C., which I can't see him going all the way down to D.C. to play a AFC East game, but Detroit's a pretty far away, too. Detroit is, let's see, Pittsburgh to Buffalo to Pittsburgh is 215 miles. Buffalo to Detroit is 256 miles, and 389 miles from Buffalo to FedEx Field in Washington. So to go 400 miles, both teams to play a game, I would think that it would be a better thing. And from what I understand, that Pittsburgh said that their stadium is not an option. So I'm thinking there's only two options, which is Detroit and FedEx Field. Maybe someone else would step up. Who knows? But they have quite a bit of snow sitting there now. 4 feet of snow in Orchard Park. I think 220,000 tons or something like some astronomical amount of snow that has hit the Buffalo area, and they already canceled the game between a college game. I think it's Kent and Buffalo is playing on Friday, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think they're playing in Buffalo. What's your thoughts, man? I think this is a record snow at a record amount of time. I know Buffalo gets a lot of snow, but 6 feet, 7 feet of snow, that's unheard of. I can't even fathom that amount of snow.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until how serious it was, I think, until maybe this morning. It's there have been similar situations, not quite the same. I think the NFL wants to just find a place for them to play the game. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's far away, because they got to play the game. I mean, the thing is, you know, the important thing is it's, the snow is so bad. You know, there's people who have health issues and whatever, and, you know, maybe not everybody stocked up on food or oil or, you know, whatever was necessary. But a few years ago, I remember Giants were supposed to play in Minnesota, but the dome collapsed. Remember that? And they ended up playing that game a few days later in Detroit. It stunk for the Giants because they were kind of hung up for a few days. I think their plane stopped in St. Louis or something, but they played the game in Detroit. I think the tickets were free or next to nothing. You know, Detroit people showed up. Most of them aren't Viking fans, of course. And I think they played that game on a Tuesday night. And then, you know, you got to deal with I don't think they could have played it on a Monday night because of the contract with Monday Night Football. And these are the things that they have to deal with. I was curious, maybe it's too close to Buffalo and they might have a ton of snow. But Toronto is relatively close to Buffalo, and maybe it's better there. And the Bills used to play for a few years. They were playing one game a year there. You know, they got a dome stadium. And I'm curious if they discussed Toronto. And even, and this happens occasionally in sports, if there's an issue with the home team, then they'll move the game to who should be the visiting team. It gets moved to their field. I think the Giants are playing Sunday night against Dallas. But they could probably have it ready for Tuesday night if the Jets were playing Buffalo Tuesday night.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be pretty interesting to find out where it's going to be played at. I in reality, playing the game, if it's played past Monday night, websites that handle fantasy football, how's that handled? You follow me?
I hate to say it, but I thought about it. The thing is, from what I remember about that, the giant Minnesota game that got moved to a Tuesday in Detroit, they were able to deal with it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is, you kind of have a routine. You know, let's say it would be, you know, not the usual routine when you're doing your waivers on Tuesday and there's still a game that needs to be played. You don't know if you won that week, yada, yada. But except for those players involved in that game, waivers for everybody else could still go on.
Yeah, but how could that happen? I mean, because it's not individual teams, it's league-wide. So I don't think that they can let one team or teams, other than the two teams that may, other than the teams that have players from teams that have a delayed game, not be able to do any waiver wire transactions versus teams that don't. I don't think they can. Individualize it like that. I think.
Really?
Yeah. I've never seen that. I've seen it that the whole league can access the waiver wire on a certain day. Say, quite naturally, the last game's played on Monday. Everything's frozen until a lot of leagues. It changes, but what the standard is, everything's frozen. You put your waiver wire requests in on Tuesday night or Tuesday, and whatever order you're in the waiver, you can pick up those players on a Wednesday. Some leagues, I know I'm in at least one league, that you can't do waivers until pick them up until Thursday. So you can put your waiver wires in Tuesday and Wednesday, but you have to wait till Thursday to see if you can pick those players up or not. So it's somebody who has later waivers, it would work. But somebody that if they played on Tuesday and you want to drop players to pick up somebody else, you can't do that because the fact is the game's being played on Tuesday and the process time has to be, I think it takes a day to process all the information in order to be able to effectively have owners make pickups or drops on Wednesday morning, early Wednesday morning. So I wouldn't say it's confusing, but it's just a logistical nightmare in fantasy when you have the possibility of two teams rather than playing on a Sunday at 1 o'clock because of inclement weather, they have to possibly wait until Monday and maybe even Tuesday. Monday would be no problem. You just have a doubleheader Monday Night Football. But if you go to Tuesday, then that's a major logistical problem fantasy-wise for CBS, NFL.com, ESPN, Yahoo, and the other websites that handle fantasy football leagues. So it is what it is. Hopefully the NFL will figure it out and have a venue on Monday, even if it's a college stadium. You follow me? A college stadium somewhere.
But the thing is, I think there's certain specifications that maybe they might work around it that the NFL needs for a stadium. I don't think they could play in any 100-yard field. I think they
right.
have some real specification. It's very complicated, you know. There's a lot of logistical problems. Like I heard the Bills, they sent their uniforms to the cleaners, and now the uniforms are stuck at the cleaners. You know, people can't even go on the roads. It's so bad. You're not allowed to drive. The New York Thruway is closed.
Right.
And they said, and, you know, it's something that didn't occur to me at first, some of the players, because, you know, this is a real, you know, serious situation for a lot of people. They don't want to leave their wives and kids. I don't blame them, you know. If there's a lot of issues. Now, also, the coaches, I think, they might have got stuck in a facility, and this is where the technology helps. They've been able to send, you know, email, you know, the game plans and whatever to the players. Needless to say, they haven't practiced at all. That's
right.
Odd. I mean, you know, show must go on, but, you know, it's you have to practice before playing a football game. I mean, hopefully at least the guys are stretching out and whatever, you know, while they're at home trying to get a little exercise in, but no practice. Mm-hmm. And for the injured players, no treatment, which a lot of guys, you know, whether they're playing in the game or not, they got to get treatment. It's a big part of football, you know. It's a lot of things. It's not the biggest concern compared to the, you know, the whole situation, but, you know, the whole issue about the game is, you know, real complicated. You know, I remember when I was a kid, might have been like the early 80s, and they got hit with, I don't know, 2 or 3 feet of snow in Denver. It was maybe a day or two before the game. And I heard of from one news source, and this is, you know, before internet and all, you know, a lot of other things. And I think, you know, we had cable, so we were cutting edge at the time. I heard from a reliable news source, might have been cable news network or whatever, that because of all that snow, that the Broncos, I think it might have been a road game, but the players couldn't get out of their homes, and then they were going to probably have to cancel or postpone or forfeit the game or something. And I think they used helicopters to get some of the players.
Helicopters?
Yeah, helicopters.
Really?
And, for you know, some of them lived in the more remote areas, and the show went on. Okay,
wow.
A couple of years ago, they had a huge snowstorm in Philly, and maybe it's because it was early in the year and they weren't ready or whatever, and they postponed the game from Sunday to Tuesday, and they said the problem was that, you know, when there's a football game at the stadium, you know, they need a lot of police and you know, ambulance, all the different stuff, and they were so busy dealing with the snow, so they had to move that game to Tuesday. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Well, staying with the NFL, Cleveland wide receiver Josh Gordon, finally, after a 10-week suspension, including a bye, so he couldn't play Week 11, he had to play, go to Week 12, is getting back on the field. And supposedly he's in extremely good shape. His coach says that he looks ahead of what they thought he'd be at this time. And number 12 from the Cleveland Browns, Ben Tate leaves, goes to Minnesota, and up comes their big stud wide receiver, Josh Gordon, to make a splash just in time for the fantasy playoffs. What's your thoughts? Josh Gordon coming out, first game out of the chute. Give me an idea what he's going to, kind of stats he's going to put up, Jeff.
You know, Cleveland does like to run the ball, but maybe some of that has to do with the fact that Gordon hasn't been active. And everybody's been saying last year after a 2-game suspension, you know, he was rocking and rolling game 3, but this is a much longer suspension. So I'm serious. I mean, he could have a big day, but, you know, I don't own him in any leagues. I would have maybe a little lower expectations because of the length of the layoff. But, you know, this guy, he's an excellent player. I mean, he might be the best receiver in the NFL, and he led the league in yardage last year in only 14 games. You know, and I remember a while ago they were saying his suspension was going to get cut, but they thought it would get cut a lot more. And then everybody was scrambling to pick him up. And, you know, people have been carrying him on their rosters for weeks. But
me included.
Which is something I almost never do. But he's has enough talent where he would be worth the roster spot just in time for the fantasy playoffs. You know, this has been such a crazy week about off the field. You know what is odd? You know, and with Gordon, I mean, I hate his DWI. The smoking pot, I could care less. I mean, I don't advocate it. It's legal in two states. It's not a performance-enhancing drug. Who cares? You know, but, you know, Commissioner Roger Goody Two-Shoes cares, you know. And for public relations reasons, people care, you know. I mean, you know, this Gordon guy, you know, he's not Al Capone. You know, he should just know when to call a cab, you know. But one of the minor things this week is Marshawn Lynch getting fined for not talking to the media. And that's another thing. I'm like, where's the Players Association on that? I had no idea that players are obligated to talk to the media. And I'll
really?
Tell you, you know, he wouldn't talk to the media, and he got fined, I think, something like $100,000. And, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. I could have sworn that years ago, I guess it was a different league, different rules. There were players who didn't talk to the media. It happens. I mean, I'm not sure, but I think Art Monk did not talk to media. Just some people aren't big talkers, or for whatever reason, or they get tired of getting misquoted or whatever. I was thinking, what about Lester Hayes? He had a serious stuttering problem. He couldn't talk to the media, the poor guy. But
right.
I can't understand what kind of players association would agree to that. And I'll tell you, you know, Marshawn Lynch, he might be a little crazy, but, you know, he stuck to his guns. You know, I think most guys would have just said just enough to stay out of trouble and avoided the fine. But, you know, I guess Lynch isn't that kind of guy. I think he's ticked off about his contract or whatever. Maybe he doesn't like the way that's being portrayed in the media. I'm not sure. But it's weird, though. I mean, if I was a player, I wouldn't like that. I mean, I would probably talk to the media, but if a guy doesn't want to, why should he get fined for that? I don't get that.
Well, the deal is this, Jeff. They're required to talk to the media. That's part of their, I guess, job, is to talk to the media. This is what happened. Marshawn Lynch didn't talk to the media when he was supposed to during the Super Bowl, and they had fined him $50,000. I think I'm saying this right, and they had been holding on to that $50,000. The NFL. Now he pulled the same trick this last week about not talking to the press, and they fined him another $50,000. So it's a total of $100,000. But the last infraction wasn't $100,000; it was just $50,000. So that's the story there. You know, I talked about this kid a couple of weeks ago, and he's already scored a touchdown. He only had two carries for 17 yards and a touchdown. And I'm talking about Latavius Murray. Finally, Tony Sperano and the coaching staff have decided that Maurice Jones-Drew and Darren McFadden, they have seen enough of, and are getting more touches to this young kid, Latavius Murray. And I think he out-touched them both last week and with up to 43 yards that he carried last week, even though, you know, it's the Raiders and they have a lousy running game. And they had promised to get him more carries and touches this game. He came through with a touchdown already, and Oakland seems like they're fired up, and they're winning 7-0 right now. And Kansas City better watch out, or they could be in the midst of a trap game. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, there's only been one NFL team to go 0-16, and the Raiders look like they might be the second, but you know, the odds are usually against it because of the parity. Even a bad NFL team is usually one week they're going to catch somebody on an off week or whatever, and it just almost always happens that way. This might be the big week for the Raiders, but unfortunately sometimes with teams like this, they mess up in the second half or they make big mistakes or whatever. But, you know, the Raiders are at home. This is a division game, and, you know, you assume can't, you know, it's hard for coaches to keep the players focused sometimes. But, you know, I think the smart players realize you can't take an NFL team too lightly, even a losing team like the Raiders. And, you know, again, they're talking the Raiders might be on the move again, which is ridiculous. But, you know, that's the Raiders. And, you know, Al Davis, he built that franchise. But then I think he got distracted with all the lawsuits and whatever. And the son doesn't impress me. He just inherited, you know, and he doesn't impress me. But, you know, they might be moving him back to L.A. or San Antonio. San Antonio's probably just a pawn. But, you know, I'll tell you, that was once a great franchise. And now they've been a joke for years. You know, but, yeah, I'll tell you, you know what's nuts? The Raiders are, right now, the way they've been running the football, one of the worst running teams in NFL history. And Maurice Jones-Drew is still, I saw in one league, he's still on a lot of rosters, and I assume it's just because of his name. And I had heard he thought of retiring before his season. You know, maybe, you know, he was great with Jacksonville early in his career. He was sharing a load with Fred Taylor, but then Jones started getting a real heavy workload. You know, maybe, I don't know, he can't do it anymore. I mean, he doesn't seem that old, but maybe he might retire after this season. Marshawn Lynch is from Oakland. I don't know if he wants to play there, but I don't know if they're interested in him, but who knows? Maybe he could be with the Raiders next year.
Oh, man, that would be – I don't know. I mean, more than likely, because I think he'd do a big increase in his contract next week – I mean, next week – next year, and he's getting where that all the pounding that he's had and his age – and he's got issues right now. That's one of the reasons the last game, he didn't even go to the locker room at halftime. He stayed out on a bench, but a table with a chiropractor working his back because he said he couldn't move or he couldn't walk. So he stayed out there during halftime while the rest of the team went inside to do whatever they do during halftime. Anyway. We come to the end of the show, Jeff. That hour went pretty quick. I'm anxious to see Latavius Murray. I just happened to pick him up. I didn't start him because it's getting close to crunch time in the playoffs, and I don't want to take that chance on getting putting a guy in there that really hasn't had the workload yet, and we really haven't seen that much. Get a score that I wouldn't be happy with from that player. So I'll have a wait-and-see approach. I think he's got one of the worst run schedules for the rest of the year, talking about the Raiders. But I'm anxious to see how this kid goes against a pretty stout Kansas City Chief defense against the run. Before we leave here, you got anything else you want to say before we part ways?
Well, hasn't come up yet. I don't think I think we'll have an encore show next week because of Thanksgiving. So
yes.
If that's the case, I'd like to wish you and our listeners a happy Thanksgiving and everything. And we'll do it live the following week.
Yes. Yes. Next week we will not be here. We'll be at encore show. 2 weeks from today, we'll be back doing a live show as we always do. With that being said, thank you, people, for listening. Enjoy the games for this weekend, and we are out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics.